Okay, so we are in lesson 10, Parenting God's Way. And again, this, as I just mentioned a little bit ago, we have this lesson and one more lesson. Now, you know as well as I do, that doesn't necessarily mean we have two more weeks, but we do have two more lessons, okay? And we'll talk about where we are. It's been a little while, but we'll pray first, and then we'll get into our passage that we'll turn into. Actually, let's go ahead and do that first. Let's go to Ephesians 6, and again, you're like, Brother Chad, we've basically have this memorized by now. Well, good. That's what I want. And so, because this passage is so helpful in what we're doing in parenting, it's just directed straight at what we're looking into and considering today. And so we'll read Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 4. And then we'll pray and get into our lesson. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." So that's we've dealt with that quite a bit, because this is the role of the children, and this is what God expects of our children, and how God can bless our children as they live in accordance to his will. And again, our job as parents is to help our children see that, help our children know that. Little secret is that children aren't going to figure that out all on their own, any more than you and I would figure out what God expects all on our own. We need church. We need the preaching of the Word. We need to be in the Word of God, because God's way is foreign to our thinking. And so we need to be taught that, and our children are no different. And as parents, we're the primary source of their teaching, especially when it comes to Scripture and the ways of God. And so we need to help our children to know this is what God expects from you as children. Obey, honor. We can say obey and respect. They need to be obedient, respectful to us as their first authority. But again, we know that it's not all about us, and we're not on a power trip. First of all, it's God who expects that. But second of all, we're not the only authority they're ever going to have. And if we don't teach them to obey the authority that's right in front of them, and by the way, who they should know very well loves them, that's a big part of this, it's going to be hard for them to respect any other authorities in their lives. It's going to be hard for them to respect the police officer. It's going to be hard for them to respect the government. It's going to be hard for them to respect their boss. And by the way, their teachers. And whoever is over them in authority, if they can't obey and respect us, we cannot expect that they're going to obey and respect the teacher. And then as they get older, the myriad of authority in their life, because that's how life works. And whether we like it or our kids like it, authority is how life works. There's always an authority structure, and God, I believe, has established it that way. Otherwise, it's anarchy, and anyway. So that's kind of how God works. And so we need to teach them to be under authority and to learn to obey and learn to be respectful. But now in verse 4 is where we get to our roles. And it says, "And ye fathers." Now, I know it's like, well, I'm not a father, I'm a mother. But listen, it's the English language. And by the way, Greek language is the same way. It's the masculine is used for both. And so we're talking about parents here. And so parents, that's you, that's me. Here's our role. "Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And so we're to bring them up. We're to raise them. And so we're going to get into that, what that means here in our lesson and how that looks in our life. And as we're going to get into the different stages of life and how that works. So let's pray and we'll get into our lesson this morning. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you again how helpful it is, how practical it is. Help us to be the parents you want us to be, Lord. And we do pray for our children. We pray that they would submit to you. And Lord, no matter how much of a parent, how much we line up with what you want us to be as parents, it's still a decision our children need to make. And so we pray that you would soften their hearts and help them to decide to follow you and glorify you with their lives. But Lord, we can't, as much as we'd like to, control our children. What we can do is control ourselves and be the parent you've called us to be. I pray that you help us to do that. Help us to be submissive to you. And I pray that you help me to be a good teacher. Help me to explain what it is you expect of us. and require of us as parents. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to all understand and help me to be a good teacher today. In Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. Okay, so we'll just read our introduction because I kind of said what I was going to say right here. And so in these final lessons, we will be showing how what we have learned applies to each phase of life for our children. And the blank there is phase. And so it's been a couple weeks, but just to remind you, we've already learned quite a bit of, I guess you could say it this way, a theory of how parenting ought to work, about some fundamentals and some goals and some even some methods. But now what we're hoping to do is march through the different stages of life and try to be as practical as we can. Now we know that a lot of this is just going to have to come as we do it. And so it'll make sense as we start to parent. And I can't prepare you for every aspect of this, but what we want to do is try to make it as helpful and as practical as possible, especially in these last lessons. And so in our lesson again here, we've covered what are the training objectives and procedures for a child who is in the first stage, which is infancy to childhood. And we, if you remember, we're breaking this up into basically three stages. And again, these are broad, but it is helpful. You'll see as we do that. But the first stage is, again, infancy to childhood. That's from the time they get home from the hospital, or even while we're in the hospital still, and then until basically they go to school, 4 and 5, before they start kindergarten. Okay, this is the first stage of life. The second stage of life is what we're going to deal with today, and that's from childhood to teenage years. That's from whenever they start school until basically 12, 13, when they begin to go through puberty and their brains go wacko, okay? And when their brains start to melt, we need to change how we... No, we don't have to change anything. But there's some weird things that happen. I don't know. I deal with the youth, and ours starts at middle school, sixth grade, and man, it's like their brains shut down for a while. And then they don't come back all the way until like 25. And so we've got to help them through that. But we'll talk about that next week. But today, we're dealing with this second stage, which is infancy to childhood. The main issue that we are supposed to be concerned ourselves with, I'm sorry about that, in this stage, the first stage that we're talking about, what we tried to help them see is that they are under authority. Helping our child to know, I don't know what my brain was doing when I wrote this, but we concerned ourselves in this life stage is helping our children to know that they are under authority. Okay? And that's the blank, that they are under authority. And we talked about that really for 2 weeks because this is the foundation. And we made this case last time, and I just want to say it again right now, that even if your children are not 5 or under, and we haven't taught them this thing about authority yet, we still have to start there. Okay? Again, this is kind of laid out in the perfect world where we start whenever our kids are very, very young. But we have to start our children. The first thing they need to learn is the foundation of this, that they are under authority. They need to learn to obey and respect their authorities from the beginning. Obedience is key. If they don't have that down, we're not ready to move on to what we're going to talk about today. Okay, so we spent 2 weeks on that. And we talked about how to correct that. And toward the very end of our lesson last time, we talked about what happens if it's too late, if we haven't started where we wish we would have, now knowing what we know. And we gave some procedures about how to start with that, even if your children are more than 5. So I won't reteach that, but if you want that lesson, get with me, and that'll help. Okay? So now we are moving into the second stage, which is the years of childhood. And that's the blank, childhood. This stage covers around ages 5 to 12. And again, it can be a little bit before 5. It can be before or after 12. But this is just a general rule. It's the elementary years. It's what we think about when we say, back when I was a kid. We don't usually think about when we're teenagers. This is the age. We don't think about when we're a baby. We think about this age between 5 and 12. It's the time between starting school and puberty, and new challenges face the parent. The child begins to grow more independent from mom and dad. That's the blank, by the way, independent. And if you have kids that are more than 5, then you kind of know how this goes, that they're little kids, and they pretty much depend on you for everything, and they start to do things on their own, but whenever they turn this age, it's like the independence really begins to explode at this time. They start making their own choices. They develop their own personality. They begin to spend more time away from mom and dad, especially if they're in public school. And even if they're not, they're spending more time with their friends, or able to trust them more to be away from you. And so this is a new period of life. And this new period of life brings new objectives when it comes to parenting. Okay? And so that's where we are. And so we said last time the one big issue was authority. And so don't write that down. That's not the big issue for this time. But in our first stage, the one big issue was authority. Now, in this stage, the one big issue is this, character. And that's the blank, character. This is what we want. This is the main objective we have for our children, that they would develop character. At least after they've got authority and obedience down. And so letter A, building on the foundation of submission to parental authority. And so at this stage, we're assuming that your child has a good grasp of authority. He has come to see himself as a creature made by God and for God. He has learned what it means to be under authority. He has learned to obey without challenge, without excuse, and without delay. And of course, they're not going to do that every time, ever. But it has been established within them, this is the rule, this is what I do. My parents give me a command or a rule to follow, and I obey. And if I don't, that's bad. Because God expects for me as a child to obey my parents. And really, the reason why we set it up this way is because it's really the easiest to set into the character of your children when they're between 0 and 5. It's when they're the least independent. It's when they're the least trying to separate themselves from mom and dad. It's when they're the least trusting of mom and dad. And you know this, it's when they learn the most. And it's when they develop their personality. It's when they develop how they view life. Really, a lot of that happens between 0 and 5. And so the goal is before they're 5, before they start kindergarten, that they have within them, deep-seated within their character and person, that they want to obey their parents because that is what God expects of them. And that's the rule. And if you tell them to do something, it's weird that they don't obey right away. that's how it should be. And if we're not there yet, we're not really ready to move on, because that's a big part of their life. And it's the foundation. But here's the problem, is that whenever they're 5 to 12, we're going to talk about this, there's going to be a lot of time where they're on their own. And obedience is not going to be enough. Obedience to authority. What do you mean? Well, you'll see. And so you're going to need to work on this thing of character still. It's just going to be a little bit more difficult if they don't already have their submission to authority down. And that's going to need to be your focus. But we cannot ignore this thing of character either. So look at number 5. Here's what I mean by that. What happens when your child is faced with situations that cannot be reduced to simple obedience? How do you build on the foundation of submission to parental authority? And we're going to give some examples, but when your kids become 5 to 12 and they start to develop reasoning capacity, I think you can probably even come up with your own examples. And dealing with junior church kids, I know this, that they are really clever about technically obeying, but still wrong. So there's that. But more than that, they're also just naturally just going to spend a lot of time away from you. And there's going to be a lot of things that they do in their life that you have no idea, and you can't give them a clear directive about exactly what to do in this situation. So they're going to have to build within themselves some character so that they know what to do, because of that's their character to do the right. You see? Instead of just, okay, what does mom want me to do right now? Well, maybe mom didn't address this problem yet. Now what do I do? When that's where character kicks in. You see? And here's the thing. When they're 0 to 5, that's not really happening. they don't have a lot of reason. Okay? I'm finding that out with the 2-year-old. And they think they know, but they really don't. And a lot of times, you really just can't get them to know. You know? And so obedience is crucial at that age. They have to just learn to trust mom and dad, even if they don't understand, because a lot of the things they're just never going to understand as a three-year-old or four-year-old or whatever. But so that trust in their parents and their submission to authority needs to be established. And that way, whenever they become children and their reasoning capacity is there, now we can begin to instill character in our children and some of the character traits we're about to talk about. And not just you do it because this is what mom and dad say, but now you're able to reason with them and help them see you do this because it's what's right. You do this because God knows what's happening and this is what God expects, whether I'm around or not, you see. And this is what we need to begin to develop in our children after they're 5 and then into 12, okay? Okay, so letter B, character development. Your child's character must be developed in several areas. Here's just a, not an exhaustive list, but a list of some character traits. You want your children to learn dependability, honesty. It says honestly, but I should say honesty, kindness, consideration. You know, your children can obey you to the letter and still be unkind, you see? Helpfulness, diligence, loyalty, humility, self-control, moral purity, a host of other character qualities. And what we could do, and I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but what we could do is make up a ton of rules that they have to follow, and if they follow these rules, at least it looks like they're following this. At least it looks like they have a character trait of helpfulness, and they want to help, or consideration, or diligence, because we've given them exact directives, and if they follow our directives to the T, at least on the outward, it would look like they're having these qualities of character. But here's the problem, and we'll talk about this in a second. We cannot make up enough rules to handle every situation. And plus, this is something they need to develop within themselves eventually, because we won't always be there. And so that's our next line here. You cannot be with your child all the time. You cannot train him for every conceivable situation. Your child must know what to do in situations that you cannot anticipate. They need biblical wisdom. They need biblical principles. They need some guardrails to help them in their life that is going to guard them from more than just specific obedience issues, you see. Okay. Because if they're only concerned about obedience, then when something comes up that they should not do, and they probably know that they shouldn't do it, but mom and dad didn't tell me anything, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. This is the issue that we run into with our kids when they're this age. His conscience must develop as a reasoning factor of the soul so that he will know what he ought to do even when you are not there. And if you remember when we talked about fundamentals of parenting, we dealt a long time about conscience and appealing to their conscience and helping develop their conscience. We're shepherding their heart, right? And their heart and their conscience are just right there next to each other. And their conscience, we'll deal with in a second, is there a reasoning factor to know what's right and wrong? And we need to shepherd that to where their conscience is working and in line with what God wants to be right and wrong, you see? Otherwise, we're going to teach them their conscience, okay, just do right so you don't get in trouble. And that's not the moral authority, just don't get in trouble. They need to learn what truly is right and truly is wrong, whether or not they get in trouble, you see. This is their conscience. And we'll deal with that in just a second. Letter C. The change in focus from stage one. That's the blank from stage one. And then remember, stage one is infancy to childhood. And so there's a shift in the way we have to think. Number one, the focus from infancy to childhood was obedience. We said this. You must start by rooting out the rebellion of your child's heart. You must teach your child to confront his natural tendency to resist authority. And every child has this, by the way. Sometimes we think our child, they don't really. there's an outward and an inward resistance to authority. And some children are outward and they'll tell you what they think. Other children will do what you say, but inside of them, they do not want to. And so what we need to help them do is root out that desire to do what they want no matter what their authority says. We need to help root that out. So that's the first thing. And everyone has that tendency. We just need to help them learn to confront that tendency. Okay, so in this stage two, where we're at, childhood, what you must address is the behavior that is wrong, but not defiant. You see? Defiance and rebellion to your authority is not the only thing that is wrong about their life, that can hurt their life. And so we need to help address what is wrong, but not defiant. But I would submit to you that if they don't care about being defiant, it's going to be hard for them to care about these other character traits. And that's why it's really important that we start with breaking their strong, independent, I do what I want, rebellious attitude. They need to break that. They need to, within themselves, deal with that. And we help them along. But we have to move past obedience. We need to move past simple authority to areas that are wrong, but still not defiant. For example, here's a real help. Selfishness. Selfishness is not defiant, but it is wrong. Your child has not left the circle of blessing, but has shown his crass self-centeredness, which is wicked and ugly. You can't just tell your child as a command, don't be selfish. That's not like a thing that you can't make rules about that. But you know they're being selfish, but they can follow everything that you tell them to do, but still be all about themselves. Partly, they only do what you tell them to do because they care about their own not getting in troubledness, not getting correction in whatever, however that looks, whether that's the rod or whether that's some other area of life at school or whatever, and they just follow the rules just to preserve themselves so they don't get in trouble. Well, that's self-centered. Or whenever they don't want to share and they want their own thing and they don't want to share with their brother or sister, and we can tell them, look, you let him play with that toy for 10 minutes. And they'll listen to you because they don't want to get in trouble, but they don't want to. Why? Because they're self-centered. And so we need to learn, this is just one of many examples, but we need to learn to address their real problem of self-centeredness. And that cannot be dealt with by just simple matters of obedience, you see. Another example is ridicule. A child can ridicule his brother without necessarily becoming disobedient or disrespectful to their parents. And that's ugly. And really what we're looking at there is underlying that is a problem they have of being considerate to others and being kind. And these are things, again, that you can try to make as many rules as you can, but you cannot legislate this kind of thing. This is something that we need to deal with their heart about. And so the goal of this stage is to help them see the ugliness of such behavior. When they're 5 to 12, there's reasoning capacity and their conscience is there, and you can help them see what is going on in their heart and help them understand that they're wrong. You can help them with that. And in a way, you can't when they're infants. You just can't. But when they're in this age, it's a really important area of their life that they can learn true character. And so if you never address character, you will never get beyond bare obedience. Okay. Letter D. A common sidetrack. Common sidetrack. That's just the word side and track stick together. Compound word. English class right here. This is a common sidetrack whenever we're dealing with this thing of conscience and character. So, which is what we already talked about, which is adding more rules. Adding more rules to solve the problem of character flaws is a poor solution. Here's the problem. It's because we don't change our focus. And so from 0 to 5, there's not a lot of reasoning capacity and not a lot of character there and not a lot of conscience, really, for the most part. And so what we do to solve all our problems is just make rules for our kids. And so we make rules and say, don't touch that, don't hit her, don't throw that. And we make rules and rules and rules and rules because really that's all we got. To be fully honest, that's our only option is to give them rules because they don't really have reasoning capacity yet. And so what we do whenever they become 5 to 12 and the and the things change and they become more independent. We just throw more rules and more rules and more rules to our totalitarian and overlooking every move they make and make a rule for everything. And it's not a good solution. Now, we do need to have some rules. And I'm not saying throw all the rules out the window. They still need to learn to obey. But what I am telling you is that rules need to be coupled with this thing of character development, or else you'll go crazy and they'll go crazy. Soon, family life becomes overwhelmed with more rules than anyone can remember or follow. Not only can they not follow, not only are they going to rebel, but they can't even remember all the rules to be able to follow them, and neither will you, because there's so many that we can make. And so it's impossible to make rules comprehensive enough to anticipate every problem. Not to mention, the adult mind is never clever enough to create rules that a child cannot circumvent to get their way. They're good. They're clever. They know what they want. And they've done this, and they played this game for long enough. And if their character is not being developed to know that this, what we're talking about, is wrong, this is a character problem. That they're learning to manipulate people, and we don't ever deal with that. We just keep making more rules. They'll continue to manipulate, and what I'm telling you is it doesn't work. They need to go together. The rules and the character need to go together. More rules will not work. Number two, the problem of Phariseeism. The alternative to addressing character issues in your children is to structure things around rules. So you give all these rules, and then you produce children who learn to keep the rules. And then what you do, even if you're successful in giving them enough rules to follow where they don't wreck their life, which probably won't be, but even if you are, and then they follow all the rules, well, then they'll just learn to be smug and self-righteous. And what do you mean by that? Well, I'm following all the rules. I'm not breaking any rules, so I'm doing great. And they're ignoring every character flaw that they have. They're ignoring the self-centeredness. They're ignoring the pride. They're ignoring the unkindness. They're ignoring the inconsideration for others. They're ignoring all of that. Why? Well, because I have no problems because I'm following all the rules. And that's what the Pharisees did. And the Pharisees made laws after laws after laws. I can't remember how many, but they created this huge law book that's nowhere near the Bible to try to legislate Israel to follow God's law, but never addressing their heart, you see, and never helping them to change from the inside out. And that's what Jesus, tore them apart about. And he called them a whited sepulcher, which means that it was basically like a tomb or like a casket or like it's really a bag of dead bones. But the bag, the container, was beautiful and ornate. But if you opened it up, it's dead, dry bones. And that's the life that we live when we're only considering following the rules, but not considering our own heart. And that's where our children get. And they become proud, just like the Pharisee, to say, I'm awesome because I'm following the rules, and that kid, he doesn't follow the rules, and he has lots of problems, and ignoring the character issues that they have. You see? This is the problem of Phariseeism. And so, number four, on the outside, they will look great, but on the inside, their character will be filthy. And at this point in your child's life, character must be addressed, not simple obedience. I hope I made that clear right here. Okay, so number two is a three-pronged tool of diagnosis of character. So what we're going to do here, this isn't really what necessarily to do, but this is just for you to diagnose, for you to evaluate your child and his character. Okay? And there's three questions, three aspects of your child's life that as a parent, it would be really good if you thought about your child and ran them through these three things. And the first thing is this. The child in relationship to God. The question here is not if he has a relationship with God. Okay? a salvation. Now, that's important, obviously. But when we're talking about character, we're not talking about whether or not he has a relationship with God. Because you can have a relationship with God, but be wrong with him, okay? We're talking about the nature of his relationship with God. How is he in relationship with God, you see, or to God? And what do you mean? Here's some questions. Does your child live with a conscious need of God? Does he walk around thinking about his need of God? Does he understand his frailty? Does he understand his wickedness, really? And the Bible talks about in Jeremiah that the heart is deceitfully wicked, desperately wicked above all things. Who can know the heart? And so our hearts, look at, on our own, we're insufficient, we're unworthy, we're inadequate without God. And does your child understand that? Or does he feel adequate in himself, you see? Is he concerned to know and love God? I mean, truly, not just while he's at church, but does he truly want to know and love God? Is he moved by God's ways and truth when he hears the Bible taught? Do his eyes glaze over, or is he excited to hear what it is that his Creator is telling him? Is there any evidence that he has a relationship with God independent of you, you see? Does he care about the things of God whenever he's not forced to? Like whenever he's not at church, sitting under the preaching, or if you do devotions with your kids and you talk when you pray with them, he's concerned about God then, but whenever he's on his own and away from you, does he have his own relationship with God, not just attached and underneath your relationship with God, you see? Are there false gods before which he bows, that he has made to be idols in his life, that he has made to be more important than God, that when it comes between this thing and what God wants, it's pretty clear what he's going to choose, which is this other thing, you see. And he'll follow God as long as it doesn't interfere with this thing that he's set up as a false god. Is there things like that in his life? Does he ever talk about God? Okay. And so these are not questions about his understanding biblical truth. And this is not an exhaustive list, but I hope I'm helping you see that what we're talking about here are his understanding of the nature of God's grace and salvation through faith in Christ. Does he know God personally? Not just does he know what God wants him to do, not just does he know the rules, but does he know the God who has created the rules? Is he concerned with loving personally and serving a God who has made the rules? This is what we're talking about. This is the character. Yeah. To shepherd his heart, to lead him to God, you must have some perception of where he is spiritually. We need to know where our child is in relationship to God. The next thing is the child in relationship to himself. The child in relationship to himself. How does your child think about himself? How well does he understand himself? How aware is he of his strengths and weaknesses? And in the book, if you have Shepherding a Child's Heart, I would encourage you to read this chapter because he really digs in deep and deeper than we have time for today. But things like this, is he sure of himself or is he insecure? Does he know his weaknesses? Does he know where his strengths are? Is he good? Does he know what things he's good at naturally and what things he's not good at naturally? These are things that you need to know. You need to know about your child, but listen, your child needs to know these things. Does he know who he is? The first is, does he know who God is, really, personally, but he needs to know who he is. And he needs to know his strengths and his weaknesses. And his weaknesses don't have to define his life, but he can overcome his weaknesses, but if he doesn't know what they are, how is he going to deal with those? And how, by the way, more importantly, how is he going to get God's help to help him overcome these weaknesses that he has? Children have different problems that they deal with. Now, it's all sinful problems that we all have. It's all the same root of our sin nature, but James talks about that we have diverse lusts. That means we have different desires, sinful desires than everybody else. We're different in that way, and we need to identify those things and learn how to overcome them. And every one of them starts with God, but really we can't deal with them until we're honest with ourselves about what they are. You see? Some people are more proud and rude and belligerent. Some people are more quiet and manipulative and really to a degree that's unhealthy and unbiblical, too submissive, in the sense where they're so concerned about what people think that it's crippling. And so there's a spectrum, and you need to know where your kid is, and you need to help your kid understand where they are, so that they can, and not in the sense where we give them an excuse to say, this is who you are, and this is just who you are. No, we can't do that, because this might be who they are, this might be the problems that they have, but we also need to help them understand that God can help them overcome. And we need to start dealing with that. So they need to know who they are. Does he understand his personality? Is he self-conscious about the propensities of his personality? Sometimes a kid doesn't know his personality and his weaknesses just because they don't care to know. Some kids know very well their personality and their weaknesses, and they're self-conscious about it. We need to help them address that too. So how are they in relationship to themselves? Letter C, the child in relationship to others. So we're talking about the relationship with God, the relationship to themselves, and the relationship to others. What are your child's relationships? How does he interact with others? What sorts of relationships does he have? What do you mean? Well, we'll talk about that in a second. What does he bring out in others? Here's a probing question that is in there, and there's a lot more of them in the book, and I wish I could just spend more time. But are his relationships even, or is he always in control, or is he always being controlled? And this is a difference between kids. Some kids are leaders. Some kids take control. They're little CEOs when they're six, and they're telling everybody what they need to do. And by the way, that's a problem that we need to help them deal with. But there's other kids that are just like, oh, whatever you say, I'll just do whatever. I don't care. And you just do whatever you want with me, and I'll do whatever you say. Well, that's a problem, too. And we cannot address these problems unless we understand these problems. Does he fawn for the attention of others? Again, some kids don't care who notices them, and they don't care what people think of them. And that turns into an inconsiderate selfishness that's not good. But there's other kids that care way too much what people think of them. And then now there's an insecurity and a fear of man there that we need to deal with. So we need to understand who our kids are. And they need to understand. And what we're talking about is what their character is. Not just if they obey or not, which is important, but how they are on the inside, what's their character. And so letter D, a periodic review, that's the blank. And it would be good for you and your spouse, or if it's just you in relationship to your children, that you regularly sit down and evaluate your children, and you clear off a spot and you think about your children, you go through this list. And again, I would encourage you to, if you haven't, and if you're interested in this, to get the book and see what, and dig deeper on it, but evaluate your children. Do it at a regular basis, maybe once a year or something like that, to where just see where your kids are. See where your kids are. Write down the things that concern you. Write down the things that you're happy with. And then develop a plan to help them to address these strengths and weaknesses in their life. Okay? Number three, childhood training procedures. Procedures. So, letter A is this, addressing the heart. And we've already touched on, but now we're going to dig a little deeper. So the temptation, again, we've said this over and over, is to focus on their behavior. And again, when they're 0 to 5, the focus needs to be heavier on their behavior than it does at this stage in life. But the temptation is just to have that totalitarian, authoritarian way with our children all the way till they're 18, and then they're gone. We can't do that. When we need to begin to focus less on their behavior when they get to this age. Behavior is always a manifestation of what is going on inside. What a person says or does mirrors the heart. And as we endeavor to develop character in our children, we must look past behavior to what is happening in their heart. And so what we talked about with that and addressing the heart, that chapter, as you're dealing with your children this age, I would encourage you to go back and look at that lesson, and it really begins to apply very strongly at this age of their life in a way that it just can't when they're 0 to 5. Okay, so that's the first thing. We need to address their heart. Look past their behavior. Number two, letter B, appealing to the conscience. Again, appealing to the conscience. What your children need is heart change. They don't just need to bend to your rules. They need a heart change. Change in the heart begins with conviction of sin. When our children have done wrong, we must help them see for themselves that they have defected from God and are covenant breakers. This is important. This is what we're talking about when we're appealing to their conscience. That we need to help them see that they're wrong. That's what we need to do. We must be concerned with helping them understand they are wrong, not just that we think they are wrong. When we confront them, it's obvious we think they're wrong. But a lot of times we just build that case, and this is what I saw, and this is what you're doing, and then we tell them what's going on in their heart. Well, we can't do that. We have to help them see what's going on in their heart and appeal to their conscience. They must come to the conviction that the inner man who relates to God is an idolater, guilty before God. And we have to help them. We have to shepherd them and train them to see not just what they did on the outside, but what has already happened on the inside. We need to help them. This is where character comes in. And the reason they did that, and that comes with communication, and again, go back and listen to read those lessons that we have about how to dig in and help them see and talk to them. And first of all, remember, we first of all are concerned with understanding, and we want to know exactly what was happening. We want for them to admit to us what was going on in their heart, and then help them to see why that was wrong. Not just that they did. Here's the rule. You broke it, buddy. So here's the consequence, and leave it there. That's not going to help them change their heart. We need to help them see what's happening in them that caused them to break the rule in the first place and develop that character within them. And so letter C, training character. That's the blank, training. Training character. Character could be defined as living consistently with who God is and who I am. And there's a lot of definitions, but whenever we're talking about this and we're talking about godly character, our children need to live consistently with realities about who God is and realities with who they are. And so we can just talk about when they break the rule. Fundamentally, what they're doing is disobeying God's command, because God has called them to obedience. And so something has happened within them that has caused them to break God's command, you see? And so they need to deal with what they've done in light of realities about who God is and what God expects, and then in realities of who they are and what they've decided in their heart, you see? And so you must hold out who God is as a basis for making choices about what he should do, and more importantly, what he should be. Because this is what character is all about. And we need to be more focused upon who your child is and less about what they're doing. Because who they are is going to affect what they do. But you can tell a lot about who they are by what they do. You see? This is why obedience matters, and this is why we need to deal with these things. But we need to dig deeper about what they've done and dig deeper about who they are and deal with that. He should learn to behave a certain way because God has called him to live that way. We need to get that in their heart. It needs to be important to them. God has not only called him to live this way, but has sent his son to change people from the inside out so they can be what he has called them to be. And so we need to exhort and encourage our child. Whenever they mess up, we cannot ignore it. We cannot just let them figure it out on their own. No, as parents, we need to be involved with this, and we need to exhort them. That means we need to tell them that they've done wrong, and we need to encourage them, and that means showing them how they can do right. But we have to do that in a way that's consistent with your child's nature and with God's nature. Well, what do you mean? Well, you cannot tell your child that if he tries and tries and tries, or if he really, really wants it, or if he's good enough, then he'll be able to do what God has called him to be. Because here's the reality, that's not true. They're not going to be what God wants them to be by just trying harder and really bad wanting it. They might be able to do a lot of the things that God wants them to do, but they're not going to be who God wants them to be without God's help, you see. And whenever they mess up and they do wrong, we need to show them how they've broken what God wants them to be, but then also show them that God came and died to help us change and help us to be what God wants us to be, but it involves us surrendering to him. Yeah. It goes against who he is. You cannot try to build good character without God. It's impossible. You must hold a high standard of character. By the way, a standard of character that is above the ability of your child, but it is the standard of character that God expects, and then help your child to depend on God's help to be who God has called him to be. This is the way the gospel works in their life. More than just them being saved, which is important, but the gospel affects every area of our life, and not only does it help us to avoid going to hell forever, and not only does it help us to have our past sins forgiven, but right now, today, the gospel helps us to be who God wants us to be, even though we cannot. Okay? So that the gospel has to be a part of this. Letter D, interpreting behavior in character terms. This is the blank. I have to hurry because it's already time. Parents tend to see their children's behavior in very naive terms. For example, we see a fight over a toy, and we see it as just simply a fight over a toy. When really, what's going on is there's a failure to prefer others, you see? And we have to deal with the character that has caused the fight, you see? Selfishness is what caused this fight to begin with. And so it's saying, here's what it is when they fight over a toy. I don't care about what your wishes are. I want to have what I want to have, and I don't care what you want. And this is the character flaw that is happening. It's a determination to live in a world that, in a way that only serves oneself. And simple rules about sharing and giving them a schedule and to say, okay, you get the toy for 10 minutes, you get the toy for 10 minutes, then you get the toy for 10 minutes, and we can make this rule, and they'll follow it, but they've not dealt with their heart, you see. And we need to see past simple obedience. We need to be willing, here's what we need to do, help our children confront the sinfulness of their heart. We need to help them do that. If they never learn to confront themselves and only learn how to follow the rules, they're never going to be what God wants them to be. Letter E, a long-term vision. That's the blank. You must be a person of long-term vision. You must see your children's need for shepherding, not simply in terms of the here and now. What I mean by that is not just that they obey me right now and make my life easier now, just do what I say. But we need to think in terms of long-range vision, being concerned with the character of your child that will move you from dealing with your school-aged children like they are toddlers. We cannot treat our children like they're toddlers. We need to expect more of them. We need to expect that they have a conscience. We need to expect that they can learn these things and be held accountable to more than just simple rules. They need to learn to get past simple obedience. We will not be able to give them specific orders for every situation of life. We need to equip our children to grow in discernment and understanding. And these things will be vital as they move into the next stage of development, which is the teenage years. We're going to talk about teenage years next time. And I'm telling you, there are a lot of teenagers who have never learned to obey authority, and they have never learned character, and they have never learned to confront who they are on the inside. And they become teenagers, and they begin to try to figure out the adult world, and they're so confused about who they even are that it's a hard time. It's a hard time. And so we'll deal with that next time. But we'll pray, and we'll let you go because I'm already late. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you again just for the privilege it is to be able to be involved with raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, to raise them to be who you want them to be. Help us to do that. And Lord, we need your help with that. And God, I pray that you bless the services to come. I pray that you'd be glorified in all that we do. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.